Amen, amen. Well, it's good to be here, and good to rejoice with God's people, the great salvation that we have, and thank you, Pastor, for having us back this year, and looking forward to a great week. Amen?
Amen.
And you say, what are these instruments up here for? Well, you have to come back tonight to find that out. Amen. And so, thank God for His goodness. We're in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2, this morning. And thank you for the nice place to stay. Last year, we had a bus here and we had a fifth wheel here. And this year, we don't have either one of them. And so the bus just got finished. It's been in the shop and just got finished, but we didn't have time to go get it before we got here because it's down in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And so it is roadworthy again. And so those of you who knew about that and praying about that, thank you for that. And those of you who pray for us, we sure appreciate that. And then the fifth wheel is getting renovated by our oldest son, Benjamin. Ben is not here. You probably noticed that already. Ben is getting married on October the 1st. And so he's in Maryland working on that fifth wheel. That's going to be the home for him and his bride. And they'll be traveling with us. And we're excited about that. And so appreciate your prayers for Ben and his bride-to-be. Her name is Sarah. Just to make things more confusing, amen, we have a Sarah, and my wife's got a sister named Sarah. There's Sarahs everywhere. There's probably more Sarahs here today. If your name is Sarah, raise your hand. See? I knew the pastor. This guy? We need an intervention for this brother right now. Amen. But we are excited about that. And I told him, no pressure, son. You're the first one getting married. I'm ready to be a grandfather. So come on. Get with the program. Amen? So anyway, we're excited about that. Appreciate prayers for them. Mark chapter 2, giving you lots of time to find it. Stand with me if you're able. We'll read our text and look into the Word of God together. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read aloud. You follow along in your King James Bible. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." I want to preach this morning out of verse number 4 about things that get between the seeker and the Savior. Things between the seeker and the Savior. You say, who are you talking about when you're talking about the seeker? I'm talking about if you're here this morning and you're lost. You need to be born again. You ought to seek the Lord while He may be found. And I'm talking to you this morning, if you're here and you're saved, and maybe you've drifted from the Lord, or maybe you've been closer to God than you are now, you ought to be seeking to draw nigh to Him today. And so I want us to look at these things from this text this morning with the help of the Lord. Let's take a moment once again to pray before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank You for the day You've given us. Thank You, God, for Your grace upon us. And Lord, thank You for this time that we could have to gather together to sing praise and worship and honor and glory to Your worthy name. And then, Lord, also to look into Your Word and open it and to allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Lord, we need You this morning. God, I pray that we would, as this man who is sick and knew he needed Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would all see that we all need You, Lord. We need to draw nigh to You if we're saved. And Lord, if there's someone here unsaved, they need to be born again. And Jesus is the answer. He's the only one who can forgive sins. He's the only one who can raise up from that bed of sickness, that sin-sick soul, Lord. You're the only one who can bring revival to our hearts and to our families, to our churches. God, so we look to You this morning. Would You meet with us, Lord? God, would You do a work in our hearts? Draw us near to Your side. Help us to experience the mighty power of God in our presence this morning. Lord, may Your will be done in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This is a very well-known passage of Scripture. Probably if you were raised in church, you heard this story in Sunday school. If you've been in church any length of time, you've probably heard a message preached from this passage. Many times when we look at this passage, we focus in on those four that brought this man to Christ. And what a great, great lesson we learned from them about holding up our corner. Amen? God's given us a job to do and within the church and within our families. And they all had a part to play. And they brought that man to Christ. And, you know, we ought to be bringing folks to Christ. Amen. It ought to be a chief goal in our lives to bring the sin sick to the Lord Jesus so He can heal them. And while that's a great message, we're not going to preach that one this morning. I want us to think about, from verse number 4, there were some things that got between this man and the Lord. You know, as we enter into a revival meeting, we understand that revival comes from God, that man does not bring revival, that man receives revival. And we understand that how desperately we need revival. As we look around our nation, and we look at our churches, and many of them have bought into this spirit of Laodicea in these days, and we feel like we're all set and we're good to go. We've got all our ducks in a row. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord says, you're sick, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You need Me. Too many churches, the Lord is standing at the door and knocking on the door of His own house. We use that verse, Revelation 3:20, to bring souls to Christ. And there's nothing wrong with using it that way. But it's a message to the church, not to the sinner. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with Me. You know, He's talking about fellowship. You know what we need in these days? We need real, genuine fellowship with Almighty God. How many of us are just going through the motions? Just punching the clock. Just showing up at church. But we have no fellowship with God. No real relationship with God. It's all an outward form. Listen, we need revival. We need revival. There are needs in each and every one of our lives, and this man had a very obvious need. And maybe our needs aren't so obvious to others. Maybe they're not even obvious to ourselves, but they're obvious to God. You know, in these days, it'd be a good thing just to pray, Lord, reveal to my heart the need of my life. And draw me near to Yourself. This man had a need, and Jesus was the only one who could meet that need. However, there are some things that were between him and the Lord. He had to get through these things and had to acknowledge these things in order for him to get the help that he needed. Now, when I think about this passage, I want to look back in verse number one, because there are some things, certainly there's some things about the sinner, the seeker, but there's also some things about the Savior that I want us to see as we lead up to verse number four. In verse one, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum." Don't you love that word again? Aren't you thankful for the word again? Listen, I know for me, I grew up in church. I heard the gospel all my life. From the time I even understood what the gospel meant or who Jesus was or anything. I was going to church before I was born. Amen? And there are probably some church brats in here. Amen? You grew up in church? Just me? Anybody else? Grew up in church? Sure, you've been in church all your life. You hear the gospel? But you know, hearing the gospel and having a head knowledge of the gospel, not the same thing. And it's not the same thing as salvation, I mean. Having a head knowledge of the truth of the gospel and receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior, two very different things. And so I grew up in church and I heard the gospel so many times, but I'm thankful that the Lord continued to deal with my heart. I can remember as a young boy being under conviction, and I still believe in old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. I believe in that. I believe that every person that gets saved comes under conviction by the Holy Ghost of God concerning their sin, concerning themselves, concerning the Savior. And I can remember being under conviction, and I can remember just in my heart and in my mind arguing against the Holy Ghost. No, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer. I'm okay. But I'm thankful, I am so thankful that the Holy Ghost did not give up on me. I'm so thankful that He came again and again and again, and He dealt with my heart. And finally, at the age of 17, I acknowledged the fact that I was a sinner, that my sins were keeping me away from a holy God, and that Jesus Christ was the only way to be born again and have my sins forgiven. I'm thankful He came by again. The persistence of the Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have. He comes by. He had been there before, and He had done miracles before. But for whatever reason, this man didn't get in on the first time. Maybe not the second time or the third time, but the Lord came by again. Now listen, here's a word of warning for us. There will come a time when He won't come by again. And so if the Lord is knocking on your heart's door and you're sitting in here and you say, well, everybody thinks I'm saved, but you know in your heart you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If the Lord's knocking on your heart's door, then you listen, today is the day. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. And so I'm thankful that he came by again. And the Bible says that it was noise that he was in the house. Noise means it was much talked about. That means when Jesus showed up in that house, word spread quickly. Hey, the Lord is in the house. The Lord is doing something in the house. You know, it would be a blessing this week if word spread quickly that the Lord was in the house this week. Yeah. That he was doing something that we couldn't explain, that no man could take credit or glory for, but that the Lord of heaven was showing up and doing something eternal in us. Saving souls and reviving the church and bringing families back together and strengthening homes. That's what we need. That's what I'm praying for. Amen. It was noise that he was in the house, and then people gathered together. It says that he preached the word unto them. You know, they'll try to tell us these days that if you preach the Bible, people won't come. Listen, I think if you preach the Bible, the right people will come. You say, well, who are the right people? Ones who are looking for the truth. Amen. I still believe there's people out there looking for the truth. Not everybody wants their ears tickled. Listen, some folks understand, I have a need. There's something not right in my heart, in my life. I need some help. Listen, let this church be the lighthouse and be the beacon of truth in this area where, listen, some that people know there's all these churches we could go to, but there's one place I know we can go and we're going to hear the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Jesus preached the Word unto them. And look at what the next phrase says in verse 3. And they come unto Him. Amen. They'll come. You've heard if they'll build it, they'll come. I know you're all super spiritual. You never heard of that. How about this? If you preach it, they will come. Amen. They come unto Him, and they're bringing someone who is sick. And in verse number 4, brings us to the message. That was introduction. Amen. Verse number 4, I want us to look at this. Things between the seeker and the Savior. This man understood he had a need, and he understood that Christ could meet the need, but as he got closer to the Lord, there's some things that got in the way. Now listen, we're here in these days, and I pray and trust that you've set aside these days to meet with the Lord. I trust that you have cleared your schedule to be in revival meeting. Now, that's good. But you understand there are things that are going to come up and try to hinder you from getting to God. They're going to try to hinder you from getting to this place, for sure. But even more so, to try to get you, to keep you from the Lord. Now, let's look at it quickly. In verse number 4, it says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." Now, when I think of the word press, I think of CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. All of them. Boy, you know what? You're not going to find much Jesus there. But we understand this is not what the Scripture's saying here. I'd love to preach on that for a long time, but America's problem is not the press. Although you won't find him there, but when we understand this to mean there's a press of people, there's a multitude. There's a lot of people around, and of course they've come, I'm sure, for all different reasons. A lot of people came to the Lord, and in the book of John it tells us they came to him to see the miracles. They were there for the show. And then there was others that came to see Jesus because he cooked up some meals from time to time. And so there were some there for the show, then there were some there for the supper. Amen. You always get those, you know, I call them homecoming Christians. Down south they have homecoming services, you know, and people come out, I mean, they come out of the woodwork. Because there's going to be good food down at the church house. And so a lot of people come for that. And so there were some for, I'm sure, there for that. But this man was there to meet Jesus. Because he had a need. But the Bible says he could not come nigh unto him for the press. You know what that means? That means there's a group of people around Jesus and they were between this man and the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. If you determine in your heart that you're going to draw nigh unto God in these days, don't for a second think that there's not going to be people to try to keep you from the Lord. People. Now, there were some people there, I'm sure it wasn't their intention to keep this man from the Lord, but yet there they were as an obstacle between this man and the Lord. Come on, if you've been in church any time at all, you have seen this take place over and over and over again. Somebody gets serious about God, some young person, God gets a hold of their heart, and the next thing you know, some young man gets serious about God, here comes some little girl. And all of a sudden, sparks fly, and this young man allows this young lady to keep him away from the Lord. And vice versa. We've seen it so often. I've seen family members get in the way between a seeker and the Savior. Now, there were some people inside the house, we read here, and there were people outside the house. And all of them were between this man and the Lord. You know, there's people, certainly there's going to be people outside the church try to keep you from God. But beware, there may be people inside the church trying to keep you from God. You know what this man determined, and these men determined trying to get this man to the Lord? They were not going to allow anybody to keep this man from Jesus. You ought to get it settled in your heart today. I'm not going to let anyone stand in the way. I have a need in my heart, and only Jesus can meet that need. I'm going to get to the Savior. Amen. There are people can come between you and the Lord. Let me give you the second thing. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Not only were there people between this man and the Lord, but there were some problems. There were some obstacles. There was some stuff. Stuff's a good Bible word. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's in there. Yeah. Saul hid himself among the stuff. You know what our lives are filled with? Stuff. Dad would call it junk. You know, he'd always tell my mom, get all your junk and load it in the van. She'd get offended. It's good times, amen. Junk. You know, I think as you study history, it seems like our generation and our culture, we have more junk in our lives than any previous. We have so many things that get in the way, material things, and just pleasures and entertainment, and all of these things get between us and the Lord. Don't allow things to keep you from Jesus. The greatest need in your life is not something that you can see with these eyes. The greatest needs of our life are spiritual. The inner man. That's what needs to be strengthened. There were some things here in the way. When they couldn't come to him because of the people, they got up on the roof. I don't know whose house this was. I don't know. And I don't know if it was one of these guys who was carrying him. Probably not. It most certainly wasn't the sick man's house. Or, you know, he wouldn't have had to leave to come to where Jesus was. I don't know whose house it was. But whosever house it was, they didn't let that stop them from getting this man to Jesus. They started by uncovering the roof. You know, that doesn't sound too bad, because when you uncover something, you can always put it back. But then things got drastic. Man, they went from uncovering things to breaking stuff. Look at it. Look what it says. They uncovered the roof where it was, and when they had broken it up. You know, there may be some things in our lives that if we're going to get to Christ or we're going to get the help we need in these days, we might have to uncover some things. We might have some things covered up in our lives, and the Lord said, listen, before you can get to me, you're going to have to uncover those things. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. You know what I'm thankful for, and I stand in need of every day? Mercy. 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 You want the mercy of God? Don't cover your sin. Uncover it. You know what that Bible verse gives us? It gives us a biblical principle. If you will cover it, God will uncover it. But if you will uncover it, God will cover it. Amen. That's His mercy. If we'll just get serious with God and just use these altars and just say, Lord, there's some things You know about them already, but I know You tell us that if we confess our sin, You're faithful and just to forgive us. And Lord, here's my sin. Here's the condition of my heart. Here's what I've done. Here's what I've said. Here's what I've thought. Here's what I've felt. And Lord, I'm just laying it before You this morning. Would You cleanse me? Would You help me? Would You meet the need of my heart? I believe God would be pleased with that. I believe God would be honored with that. And I believe God would answer that prayer. We serve a merciful Savior, a gracious God. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And He's willing to forgive, but you got to uncover it. You know, we heard about Pharisees in Sunday school this morning. They're all concerned with the outside. They want to make sure everybody thought well of them, except for one, God. They didn't care what God thought. You say, how could you say that? I can say that because their hearts weren't right with God. Listen, there's a part of you that only God sees. Isn't that what Samuel told David? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And if we're concerned with what God sees, there's a place in us that we can fix up just for Him. That part that only God sees, your heart, why don't you uncover the things in your heart and lay them bare before God? And then it says they not only uncovered it, they broke it up. Amen? You know what we need in Christianity these days, in our Bible-believing Baptist churches? We need some breakups. Amen? We need some breakups. There's some things, and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with these things. If those things have your heart and God doesn't, then you need to break it off. Break it off. It's robbing you of your joy. It's robbing you of your peace. And it's keeping revival from our hearts. Break it up. Amen. That's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. He said, break off thy sins by righteousness. I like that. Think about that. Break off thy sins by righteousness. That is, replace that rebellion with righteousness. Replace that sin with some sanctification. Get your heart right with God. Amen? Say, preacher, you're preaching kind of hard. Listen, we get the hard part over, we can enjoy the rest of the week. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Get the junk out. Take out the trash. There's some stuff in the way. Now listen, I'm sure that their actions were disapproved of by many. What are you doing up there? Well, we're taking the roof off. You can't do that. You know what they said? Nothing is going to stop us from getting this man to Jesus. You know what that speaks to me of? Desperation. They were desperate for God. Desperate. Would you not say that we live in desperate times? The Bible uses this word, perilous times. That's what we're living in. Perilous times. Dangerous and desperate times. And we desperately need God. They got the problems out of the way, the obstacles, the stuff. Maybe it's your past that's in the way. Don't let your past keep you from God. Don't let your past failures keep you from getting to Jesus in these days. You know what the Lord will do? And listen, for many of us, we've already brought it to God, and the Lord's forgiven us, but we're still hanging on to it. He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Right.
If he's not going to remember them, then why are we remembering them? He's the one we answer to.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Right?
I know people won't let you forget about them, but you're not answering to them. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching right there. Praise God. You're not answering to them. We're answering to God. And when you confess that thing to God, God forgives and he will not remember it against us anymore. Don't let your past keep you from getting to Jesus. Let me move on. The third thing here in verse number 4 that I see, they'd gotten around the people. They went above them. Amen. And then they uncovered the roof. They broke it up. But there's still a problem. Because the man was up here. And Jesus was down here. You know what had to happen? The man had to be lowered. He had to be lowered. And you know, listen. There's people in the way. We can let problems get in the way. And here's the big one, pride. Pride keeps us from Jesus. There are more people in hell today because of pride than any other sin. I'm convinced of that. Pride. There are more Christians lukewarm today because of pride. They will not admit, I need reviving. I need help. There's things in my life. Listen, come on. We sit here and we act like we've got it all together. And we do that because we want everybody else to think that we have it all together. Let me just let the cat out of the bag.
Go ahead.
There's not one person in this room that thinks you have it all together. I know you think. You think that we've got this persona out there and we project ourselves as being all set, that we're walking with God, we're batting 1,000. Nobody thinks that of you. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? Everybody knows that you have issues. How about this? How about we all just say, we've all got issues. I've got issues. I need help this week. Listen, we're in revival week after week after week, and I thank God for that, and it's wonderful, but you can get into a rut. You know what I'm realizing? I need God today as much as I've ever needed him before. I need revival. Say, well, I thought you were going to bring revival to. I'm not. I'm looking for it just like you are. I need a touch from heaven. I need revival in my soul. I need tears again for souls. I need God to work in my family. You say, your family's got it all together. We need God. We all need God. How about instead of us being up here, how about we just get lower? And then we realize, listen, it's pride that's going to keep us from the touch of God and the help of God. It's pride that keeps souls from getting saved. It's pride that keeps marriages from getting back together. It's pride that keeps young people from serving God. It's pride that keeps revival from our churches. We need to humble ourselves before God. He said, if you'll humble yourself, I'll lift you up. We need a spirit of humility. No, we don't have it all together, but we have the truth. We have a Savior who loves us. We have a God who's willing to forgive. We have a God who wants to bless us and wants to help us and wants to revive us. And we can't push a button and make revival happen, but we can sure be ready when it comes. Don't let anything get between you and the Lord. This man came to the Lord, and listen, he knew that he was sick in his body. Maybe we'll deal with it more tonight, but he knew he was sick in his body. But the Lord didn't just touch his body and heal him. He did something far greater for him. See, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. There's things in our lives we might say, yeah, I need help with that. And then we come to the Lord, and the Lord opened our eyes and say, yeah, you need help with this too. You know what the psalmist said? Search me, O God. I'm sure the psalmist had a heart of, he wanted to search himself and see if there's any wicked way in him, but he understood that God's searchlight was a lot brighter than his own. And we may be thinking, you know, we're doing okay. Why don't we just humble ourselves this morning and say, Lord, you search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. I believe the Lord would be honored with that prayer. A sincere call for help. And that's what we need. We all need help. If you didn't need help, you wouldn't be here today. We all need help. Each and every one of us. And I can't help you, and the pastor can't help you, but God can help you. Here's our prayer this week. Do anything and everything you can to get to Jesus. If there's people in the way, just as politely as you can, say, get out of the way. I'm getting to Jesus. If there's stuff in the way, just clear out a path. Get to Jesus. If there's pride in your heart, just humble yourself before God. Get to Jesus. If we get to Jesus, we get the help we need. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth. And Lord, we are grateful today to know that our God is not a God who delights in punishing us or destroying us or proving how much stronger he is than us so he can lord it over us. Lord, we have a God that loves and cares, has compassion and forgiveness and strength and revival. And Lord, you want us to have revival. I know you want us to have revival more than we want it ourselves. God, with whatever desire we have in our hearts, Lord, may it be strong enough to get through any distraction and any obstacle to get to you in these days. Father, if there's someone here today unsaved, Lord, help them to realize that no program or religion can forgive their sins and change their life. But Lord, help them to understand also that Jesus can. Help them to trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May they turn from self, turn from sin, and turn to the Savior. May they trust Him today. Be born again. And Lord, I pray as believers that we would realize, even though we are saved and our eternity is settled, Lord, we're not a finished product. We're still here for a purpose and a reason. And Lord, we are not going to fulfill our purpose outside of your strength. And so, God, I pray that we do everything that we can to clear the way between us and you. That there would be nothing between our soul and the Savior. God, help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing together. The altars are open. The pastor's coming. Be obedient to the Spirit of God. Can you honestly say there's nothing in my heart between me and God? Unconfessed sin, an idol? If there's something or someone you love more than the Lord, then there's something between you and the Lord. Let's just be honest with ourselves, honest with God today. Maybe you got a family member, they need to get to Jesus. It'll be a good time to just pray for them. Just pour out your heart to God for them. You just obey the Spirit of God.
As the Lord spoke to your heart, may you be obedient to His leading. You know, some of those obstacles there were just natural. They were there. Do you understand some obstacles that hinder us from coming to Christ we place there? They're in our life because we introduced them. We built them. Maybe this morning they need to be uncovered and broken up. Maybe it's that position of humility. Pride is destructive. It works no good thing. And as the passage revealed to us here today, it will prevent us from getting to Christ. One of the hardest walks to walk is that walk of being burdened down with things that are unnecessary in your life. And as Christians, we take upon us heavy yokes sometimes. We have cares and burdens, and the Lord reminds us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's easy, He tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, casting all your care. One of the greatest walks we can walk is when we just lay all those things down at Jesus' feet and say, here, you take care of all this. Take all the problems. Take my past. Take my pride. And oh, how relieving it is to walk away lighter. Preacher said something somewhat in jest a little bit, but it's true. Hey, if we get our heart right early, it just makes everything better. When we pick those things up, when we have things in our life that ought not to be, and we just lay them at the feet of Jesus and just get our heart right with the Lord, I'm telling you, everything just gets sweeter. I'm thankful a message like that is preached Sunday morning and not Wednesday night. I look forward to what God has for us. And I believe, through answered prayer, He has already met with us here today. Say, that's it then. I'm good, right? I got football this afternoon. No. You have an appointment. You have a meeting scheduled. the Lord, the God of heaven, and the preach word of God tonight again. What an opportunity to have that meeting. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the message. Appreciate your faithfulness and your singing. Appreciate God, as we heard first and foremost. Again, he came by our way. Didn't have to do that. Appreciate it. I'm glad he did. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you for your care and love for us. God, you love us even though many a times we are unlovable. God, you are merciful to people that are just in need of judgment. And Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace yet again. God, I pray that the things that we heard, the decisions that were made, we would not soon move off of. But God, you would continue to work in our life. God, thank you again for your word, how it ministers and meets our needs. Lord, we love you. We need you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you here tonight.